Hello, welcome to the Lean of Plants podcast. My name is Chelsea, and if you are struggling to lose weight on a plant-based diet, then this podcast is for you. While there are thousands of books, podcasts, and resources about the benefits of a plant-based diet, the reality is that being vegan does not guarantee losing weight. If you are feeling frustrated and confused about where to start, or you know exactly what you should be doing, but you just can't seem to rustle up enough willpower to do it, then keep listening. In this podcast, you'll learn the truth about plant-based weight loss, but just as importantly, how to use proven methods of behavioral change to turn what you know into lifelong habits that lead to getting and staying lean. Can't wait to get started. Let's do this. Callie, thank you so much for being on the Lean of Plants podcast today. I'm so stoked and excited to talk to you. You are someone who probably most people know. I have your head, I'm not kidding, in my voice. Like every time I'm cooking and I'm like cooking up the broccoli stems, welcome to scrappy cooking. And I just hear you. You're a New York Times bestselling author. You've got about 7 million subs across platforms, hugely influential in the vegan cooking space. And you have a new book coming out in April, which is Scrappy Cooking.
Yes, that was such a lovely intro. Thank you so much for having me.
So what I really want to talk to you about, Callie, is what got you into scrappy cooking, what the heck is scrappy cooking, and why you're so passionate about it.
For sure. So scrappy cooking really started with my plant-based journey. And it was after I went plant-based that I learned about the massive drain on the environment that animal agriculture causes. Hmm. And that in and of itself was a big shock to me, because I think in school we're taught that anything to do with climate change is caused by transportation, or you're taking too long of a shower. Yeah. I mind this was like 15, 10 years ago when I was in high school, but that's what I had been taught. And then when I heard about that, what you're having on your plate, and as an individual, one of the best ways you can reduce your environmental impact is going plant-based, that really shocked me. So then my first cookbook came out that was fantastic, such a great reception. But right after, I heard a statistic that just about stopped me in my tracks. And that was that 30 to 40% of the food produced in the United States ends up in landfills. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy. Immediately when I heard the statistic, my mind sort of went, okay, so this food kind of just breaks down and everything's fine. But that's unfortunately not the case. When food stacks up in landfills, it emits a really potent greenhouse gas called methane, which is a huge contributor to global warming. And really, to put this into perspective, the food waste in landfills actually emits more emissions than the entire airline industry. So it's crazy. Like we're tracking Taylor Swift's flights and then wasting 30 to 40% of our food. It's not to say that flights aren't a huge issue as well, but why is no one talking about food waste? And so knowing the statistic, I one day just threw up an orange peel candy recipe because it was something I was doing in my own home to try and mitigate the waste I create as a food blogger. And people went nuts over it. Mm-hmm. Engagement was like nothing I had ever seen. And I thought, wow, this would make a really great concept for a cookbook. And I'm so excited that people are interested in it.
Mm. Yeah, I love that. As I've always kind of been a bit of a scrappy cook, and I don't know if that's just being in New Zealand, but never peel potatoes, never peel like pumpkin, any vegetables, use absolutely everything. And we went to the States a couple of years ago, and everywhere I'd go, I would ask, oh, do you have a compost? And then no one would have a compost, which was really strange. And then all of this food waste, not only, because what I've heard, I don't know if you have any idea about this as well, is a lot of the problem is that we have this waste, like this organic waste, and then it goes into the same kind of landfill with all of the plastic and everything else. And that's one of the huge problems.
Exactly, because it is decomposing in a landfill with all of that is the issue. Composting is fabulous if you have access to a compost. And I always tell people, you'd be surprised. I think in New York, I'm in Canada, so it's a little bit different here. I mean, our food waste statistics are the same as the US, if not a little bit worse, which is really shocking as well. But we have a composting system in our cities. So what happens is the city will come and pick up your green bins every week. So you don't necessarily, a solution to this is like look in your town or your city, and oftentimes there will be group composting, like the New York, I believe, has compost sites where you can drop it off. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to have like some composter in the back with worms or whichever else. Although if you have the space and the capacity and the time, that's fantastic too.
Yeah, I guess the coolest thing about learning to cook in a scrappy way is that you don't need as much food waste in general. It doesn't, in some ways, it doesn't matter where it's going because it's not going anywhere. It's going into your body and then you're actually getting that.
Exactly. Yeah, this concept of scrappy cooking, it's really peculiar how much we throw out that could be eaten. I think it's just one of those things where it's been normalized like not to eat broccoli stems. You just think, okay, the florets and the stems go in the garbage. But if you even think about it from a financial perspective, that we throw, if you pay for broccoli by weight, the stem is like the heaviest part, if not 50%, and then you're throwing it in the garbage. It's just bonkers. So yeah, that's really, really, really impassioned me to start creating recipes around this concept and helping people reduce their food waste from the ground up.
Totally. My kids and I, we're very into old war audiobooks, and one of the things you always hear about is that during war times, they would take the potato peels and they would cook them up. And it's so funny to think that people are peeling potatoes, even to this day. I'm like, oh yeah, people still peel potatoes. It's kind of this weird concept to think that there's a world in which some people never think about it, and then some people are like, I have to peel a potato.
I even think there's a difference between Canada and the US in that way, because whenever I post a recipe where I don't peel the potatoes, because I grew up not peeling potatoes, people are petrified because they're like, oh, those were in dirt, right? And I'm like, where do you think most of your vegetables come from, right? But it is funny. There is just like even country to country a difference in culture to culture. Absolutely. I think a lot of cultures were the original scrappy cooks, right? And we need to get back to that because it only makes sense for our health and from a food waste perspective.
100%. Like, we in the West, we're just so bad at it. I lived in Korea for a while, and garlic stalks would be used, like peels would be used, absolutely every single thing, fern fronds, everything. But what I want to know from you is, how does someone bridge that gap between being the person that buys the broccoli already cut up, or they're not, maybe not even doing that, because like that's still amazing, but they're actually going and they're buying those processed foods. How do you go from that to then being the person that cooks with broccoli stalks? Because there's a huge bridge that needs to be, or a big cabin that needs to be bridged there.
Absolutely. I think starting a low waste journey or even a plant-based journey, you want to start before you even get the food in your kitchen. And what I mean by that is probably the biggest key to reducing your food waste. It's not necessarily making like banana peel bacon. It's sitting down on a Sunday and taking 10 minutes and to plan out your meals for the week, because so many of us are so in this rat race, we're so busy that we get caught up and we head to the grocery store with no plan. And then that's when we really make mistakes in terms of overconsumption, overbuying. And then we get to the end of the week and we haven't used half the food that we bought. And then unfortunately, it spoils and it ends up in the garbage. So if you're listening and that is you, and trust me, I've been there, no judgment. You want to sit down on a Sunday, take 10 minutes, and write down a grid: Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. If you're somebody who wants to leave a little spontaneity, that's fine too. But write down what you think you're going to eat for the week. So maybe you're having pasta on Monday night, and then you're going to take that for your leftovers on Tuesday, and you're going to have overnight oats Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever. doesn't matter. You don't need a cookbook. You don't need a meal plan. You don't need anything to do this, just a pen and a piece of paper. Then before you even head to the grocery store, what I do is I'll shop my fridge and pantry. So I will look to see what I already have from this grocery list that I've created from the recipes that I'm going to be eating this week. And then I will make a shopping list from there. Even better is if before you meal plan, you look in your fridge and you see if there are any odds and ends that need to be used up, and then create meals based off of those. And then you head to the grocery store, you have a list, you stick to the list, you get the food back, and take it one step further. If you want to be like a real champion, you can start meal prepping. So that would be like slicing up your bell peppers or even making full meals for the week based on that meal plan that you've made up. That is like the low hanging fruit in terms of, I think, eating healthier, eating plant-based, and reducing waste. It's just going in with a plan, because when we don't have a plan, what is that saying? Something planned to, if you don't plan, you're going to fail. It's very true. Yeah. If you don't do that, then what happens? And again, I've been there. You're heading into work in the morning and you're going through the drive-thru because you didn't plan a lunch, or you're ordering food in and not using the groceries that you bought. So meal planning, I'm a huge proponent of. I think it's like the number one thing we can all do to reduce waste.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. It's when I think about it, I keep coming back, because we help a lot of people build habits and create prep systems and things that actually work for them. And we prep and we plan for everything in our lives, almost except the food that we make. And then we think that, well, yeah, like you say, you're going through the drive-thru on a Monday morning because you haven't taken a minute to think about it. And what I've started to do for myself, Carly, that I'm finding really helpful, is seeing the times that I'm planning and seeing the prep that I do almost as important as a doctor's appointment. So it's actually in my calendar. Monday, it looks like this. Or if I'm just going to do overnight oats, it's in my alarm system to 9 p.m. Put on my favorite show, start making my oats. It takes like 2 minutes of time. And if you're not actually doing that, then you're bottlenecking yourself in your success to even starting that process.
Yeah, if you're not meal planning, at least in some form, I feel like you are just setting yourself up to not be successful in whatever health, wellness, zero waste, plant-based goals you have. Like, at the end of the day, health is wealth, right? Like, our bodies are everything. Our vessels, whatever you want to call them, are everything in this life. And you don't want to get to a point where 30 years, 20 years down the line, you're now having to go through some terrible treatment on all these medications, chemotherapy, whatever else, because of the choices that you made now. So I would say, I love that analogy of like, I look at it as important as a doctor's appointment, because it is. It is. Your health is everything. Yeah. So I love that. I'm going to use that. I love that. Scheduling it in like a doctor's appointment. So true. And I mean, if you have the resources available to you, I think there's like some great meal prep companies and things like that can assist you. But really, it's easy. It can be easy. Overnight oats can take you 5 minutes.
Yeah.
If you can do it. So
do you think that people look at content creators and they see, because obviously it's your job to create a ton of different recipes. Do you think people that look at that and find it intimidating because there's so much variety, because there's so much going on, and then go, well, where do I start? Like, if you weren't doing this and it wasn't your job, how much time do you think prep really needs to take?
I talk about this a lot. I feel like my Instagram page is so misleading to my day-to-day actual life in my household. And it's just because it's my job, right? I want to be continuing providing people with inspirational recipes, but that's not how I actually live. I think most people are probably similar to me, that they have 3 to 4 staple recipes that they go through every week. People assume that like I'm cooking up like these gourmet meals, different things every night of the week. No, every single week I'm probably making some sort of curry dish, some sort of pasta dish, probably like a vegan bolognese, and some sort of soup or stew. Now, what's different in these recipes, and I can speak to this in my book as well, I have a series of recipes, probably about 25 of them, that are earmarked as KitchenAid recipes. is I think it's really important to eat a diversity of vegetables. We've heard this from the Gut Health Project that eating 30 or more plants per week can lead to a more diverse gut microbiome, which as we know, impacts our mental health, physical health, digestive health. So in order to do that, if I'm making a red curry, which is my favorite food in the world, I make some form of curry at least once a week, I'm interchanging the vegetables that are in that. And that's kind of how I wrote my newest cookbook, but you can look at any recipes like this. When you're cooking with plants, the stakes are low. You can't, it's hard to screw things up to a point where you can't fix it. I always say, like, it's not like you're cooking a chicken breast and you're worried you're going to undercook it or get salmonella everywhere. Like, the stakes are so low when you're cooking with plants. So I just interchange, I'll throw whatever's in my fridge in there. And that is like a huge tip for reducing waste too, is if you have these base recipes that you cycle through every week, and just interchange the vegetables, it makes the meal planning process so easy too. And then to your question, to answer your question, what would it look like if you weren't doing this? I mean, in 2016, I only left my job in 2019. And before that, I worked a 9-to-5. And at that time, I would take a couple hours on Sunday and I'd usually make dinner for the week. So dinner for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and lunch for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and breakfast for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And it would take maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours. And it was just like soups, pasta, overnight oats. And then by the time I got to Thursday, I felt like, okay, I'm at the end of the week. I feel like cooking again, you know, I've got some steam back in me, or we would get takeout one night. But I think when people think of meal prep, they're like, okay, I'm going to eat the same thing like every day, Monday to Friday, which it doesn't have to look like that. It can be flexible.
Yeah, that it just makes that feel so much more doable to go from, hey, meal prep on a Sunday, take 10 minutes, and you're thinking about every single recipe that possibly could be in the world, to going, hey, I'm just going to find what are my core things. I know that I like to eat them. Maybe I've got some kind of hyperfixation food that I'm going to eat twice a week. I definitely do that. And then going, hey, well, okay, what's in season? What veggies do I like? What's cheap right now? And then just using it from there. So that it just simplifies it so quickly from something that feels very, very huge and overwhelming to very, very simple. What I want to know from you, Carly, is when you're taking time to prep, and thinking specifically for busy people, because we're all flipping busy. I mean, you're probably busier than most people. That's the crazy part. Like, it's kind of crazy. This is your job, but you're probably busier than 99% of people. How do you find the time to cook? When are you cooking? Do you cook lunches? Are you cooking breakfasts as well? Like, how many hours a day are you spending time cooking? How do you work that into your lifestyle?
Yeah, I mean, I am a bit of a, like, because I'm a food blogger, I'm cooking at all hours of the day, right? It's a little bit different than the regular human being. But I will say, when I worked a regular job, it was usually on those Sundays, and then I would resume kind of the cooking on Thursday nights and whichever else. But I think there's something to be said about like staple convenience foods. So we were talking about overnight oats, but there's even like, if you have a pack of like straight oats with flax and chia seeds in it, and all often that's what I'll do is I'll boil some water. I love oats. Add it to that instant oatmeal, add some berries to it. There's a lot of ways that you can take these convenient foods and sort of amp them up from the health perspective. So that's something I make really often. I'm a huge fan of smoothies. Again, this is speaking from a perspective of somebody who works from home. So I will whip up a smoothie. It takes 5 minutes. And oftentimes I'll have like smoothie cubes. I'll prep smoothie cubes in the freezer. So that'll be like, I'll have done bananas, chia seeds, berries, spinach, all blended up, frozen into an ice cube tray. And then you can just throw them in the blender and whirl them around, and you've got an amazing smoothie. And then dinner time, I mean, dinner time is usually what I'm filming often. And then if I'm not, I'm whipping it together. But I think good meals, again, being plant-based is so awesome, because I really think good meals can come together in like 15 minutes. Tofu, I eat a lot of tofu in this house, a lot of chickpeas. All of those have already been that like cooked, right? Yeah. So you open up a can of chickpeas, you drain it, you add it to a curry sauce, or you smash them for like a chickpea salad sandwich. That's not going to take you much more than 10 to 15 minutes. I think a lot of cooking is confidence, right?
Mm-hmm.
I get a lot of questions from people who are saying, I'm following your recipe. Can I interchange this for this and whichever else? And the answer is 99% yes. And I think people get slowed down and bogged down by the process of it. But I hope that my whole goal is to empower people to learn to cook with plants so that they feel excited and confident enough that they can start making their own recipes or at least tweaking recipes to their liking.
Yeah. I mean, that when you think about how many recipes have you created over the course of the past 4 or 5 years? And how could you put a number on that?
I couldn't put a number on it, but what I will say is like they become iterations of themselves, right?
Yeah.
Like, I was just talking to someone earlier today and I'm like, oh, like I'll often take whatever greens I have in the fridge that are about to wilt and I'll make a pesto. Mm. And then somebody asked me my favorite recipe in my new book. And I was like, it's a lemon peel pesto. And it's a very similar recipe, but just uses lemon peels in place of the greens.
Right.
So like they're built on each other, which is great because it makes life easy, right? Which is what we want to do here is make healthy eating more plants, reducing waste as easy as possible. I'm not here to, I often get in my head and I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm posting another overnight oats recipe or pancake recipe. Like this is not innovative, yeah. But I come back to my mission. It's just to help people eat more plants and help people eat healthier and empower people to learn how to cook. And that doesn't have to be like some crazy culinary masterpiece. That's not my wheelhouse. Right. So I don't know how many recipes. I'm sure the number's got to be close to 1,000.
Yeah.
But they all build. They all build off of each other, kind of.
Yeah. And I mean, when you think about doing something thousands and thousands of times, really, that's how you get the confidence. And no one's going to feel as confident as they see you when you're like, here's how to use this and here's how to use this. They're not going to feel that the first time that they start cooking this way. But after 1,000, they will. It's just getting into it, getting it started.
Yeah. And it really can be so fun. I think that cooking can be such a joy for people once they know how and they feel confident. And it can honestly be almost therapeutic, like a mindfulness activity, because it takes you away. It's something tangible that you're doing with your hands. So often we're sitting at computer screens and in meetings and whichever else, and cooking, it's you're chopping, you're tasting, it's engaging all the senses. So I think it can be a really beautiful thing.
Yeah, totally. So for people then who they're not there right now, and as I'm sure you're very aware, so much of the Western world is eating a predominantly processed diet. How do you, which is high dopamine hit food, it's very convenient, it's very delicious, and it's very addictive. How do you start to incorporate this healthy habit of cooking, of meal prepping, when you're just used to going to the supermarket and getting a freezer meal?
So I've been there. My college friends all laugh at me because I was the girl that came into university and I had a freezer stocked full of tater tots and mini pizzas.
Are you serious?
And now they can't believe that I am now this plant person. So 100% I've been there, and I had never cooked a plant-based meal up until around 2015. So the switch can be made. That's number one. Number two, I think you need to find your why, right? If somebody's not motivated to want to change their diet or their health, then it's going to be really difficult to do that. So my dad was a colon cancer survivor, and it was 2015. The World Health Organization announced that red and processed meat were classed as group 2 and group 1 carcinogens. And that was the catalyst. My immediate family at that time really shifted to a plant predominant diet and me vegan. And that was enough for me that I felt, oh my goodness, why had nobody associated my dad's colon cancer or told him to change his diet? Because we just kept eating what would be described as the standard American diet after he'd gone through chemo, surgery, the whole bit. So I felt really inclined. And then I always say that going plant-based is like opening Pandora's box because you start learning about the animals and the environment. And I mean, there's so many reasons to eat more plants. And I'm not saying everybody needs to go vegan. I think that you can eat a plant-predominant diet and be extremely healthy. But there's just so many reasons. And if you're not going to do it for yourself, the planet and the animals are other good ones, but you need to get really deeply rooted in the reason that you're doing it before then you pursue it, because I think that's the best way to stick to it. And then it goes back to kind of what we were talking about earlier, is I think you take it one meal at a time. Is if you're somebody who eats like an entirely processed food diet, I would look at what that contains in a week. Maybe you eat frozen pizza. Maybe another day you're getting like vegan chicken fingers or whichever else. Take one of those meals in the week and see if you can make it at home. I always say that making something at home as opposed to buying it like a processed frozen food or from a restaurant is almost always going to be healthier. So see if you can make maybe like in my new cookbook, for example, I have a two ingredient like magic dough that is great for pizza. So maybe you make a vegan pizza on your own with like a cashew cheese instead of buying a frozen one, and you try that and you love it. And now it becomes a staple and you slowly build on that. I think then over time, these small sustainable changes, you'll notice a huge difference.
Yeah, I love that. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. You're just going, hey, well, how can I make whatever I'm doing better?
Exactly. And I think you can apply that too if somebody's listening and they're wanting to go plant-based, and maybe they eat a mostly like meat and cheese and whichever based diet. I always tell people, look at what you normally eat in a week. Do you start your breakfast with cereal and milk? Do you put milk in your coffee? Do you have tacos for dinner? Can you swap the milk in your cereal for soy milk? Can you swap the beef in your tacos at dinner for lentils? And these small shifts will maintain the familiarity in your diet while also moving towards something more plant predominant.
It's really getting out of this kind of all or nothing thinking when people think about food. Carly, I was looking at my comments last night and I'd posted an oatmeal recipe. And most of the people look at my page because they're there to lose weight, like tone up. And this person was commenting that a 500 or 600 calorie bowl of oatmeal was high in calories. And I was like, compared to what? Like the average takeout meal is like 2000 calories plus. And you're saying that oatmeal. So she was like, this is misleading. This is not healthy. And I think it's like, that's really the issue that so many of us are dealing with, is that we're going, well, it's not optimized because, I don't know, it's not just a salad, or I'm not going to swap out the cheese on my pizza for cashews because it's still pizza. It's like, yeah, it's still pizza, but it's way better for you than the alternative that you would normally have. You're just trying to move one tiny step in the right direction.
Exactly. And I think that saying something from a caloric perspective isn't healthy, and it's like, isn't healthy for who, right?
Exactly.
I'm sure you're a very fit individual. You work out, whichever else, you need the fuel, right? So it's just, it all depends on who you are. And I think meeting people where they're at is so important. I was thinking about earlier how people are very concerned about processed foods, rightfully so. I think it's a huge issue, obviously, in North America. But if you're somebody who loves processed food or can only afford processed food and wants to eat healthier, maybe a box of mac and cheese you can add green peas to.
Yeah.
You can add tofu that you've put some nutritional yeast on. There's ways to always add more plants to your meal. And the more plants you add, the more you're crowding out the bad stuff. So it doesn't have to mean that you have to give up all of your favorite foods. I think the more plants you can get on your plate, plants are naturally lower in calorie. They're higher in fiber. A lot of them contain a lot of protein. So you're only going to benefit.
I love that. I think that's such a refreshing take and kind of a breaking the fourth wall almost, because I see so many people that put content creators on this kind of a pedestal, or they see that this is their job, this is what they're doing. It's like, yeah, but I still get takeout and I just add some broccoli.
Yeah, I remember I did a campaign with Kraft for their vegan mac and cheese, and people were up in arms. And I'm like,
oh, I bet.
Do you know how happy I am about this? I grew up on, like, I think in Canada per capita, we eat more mac and cheese than any other country in the world, which is shocking being next to the US. And I'm like, I grew up on mac and cheese. I'm so happy this is an option. No, I'm not going to be eating this for dinner every night, but I would have it on like a Sunday once a month as a treat. And people are so shocked by that, that I would ever. Yeah. And it's funny because I think it would be challenging to, especially if you're starting from a point where you are somebody who loves those types of indulgent foods, to expect them to never have them again.
Yeah.
I think it's more, you want to crowd them out and have them sometimes, have them as a treat, right?
Yeah. Do you find that this is a mistake, or is something that you notice people doing as they're trying to make these shifts? Because in my experience, there's so many people I've talked to who they won't even want to use a microwave, which is kind of crazy, because even Michael Greger's like, microwaves are fine. Like, there's no actual research to say they're bad. But then they'll go buy takeout.
They go nuts over microwaves. They go nuts over them. I know. I'm a huge proponent, because also microwaves, I did a whole rant on this one time. You think about people in dorm rooms, you think about elderly people, you think of people who are disabled. Yep. Microwaves are a gift.
Yeah.
Thank goodness we have them to heat up food in an accessible way. So it's really like, it's a terrible thing to like be just totally slamming on microwaves, and it's not science-based either. But I think that the internet, people get on pedestals, and it's a really weird place to be sometimes. And at the end of the day, I think we get so in the minutia of health that we lose the forest for the trees. It's kind of like what I talked about earlier, that lowest hanging fruit, if you want to reduce food waste, meal plan. And this is the same for eating healthier. If you want to eat healthier, add more plants to your diet. Worrying about the microwave or the boxed mac and cheese you might have once a month, yeah, not going to be the answer, right?
Yeah.
But it is funny. The internet's very black and white, right? It's like, this is wrong, this is right.
Yeah.
There's nothing in between. And it leaves a lot out of the conversation.
The irony that I see is so often people, the same people who are scared of microwaves, will be the people in the very next sentence saying, I'm binging on chips and takeout and like Starbucks coffees. I'm like, yeah, so heat up your broccoli in the microwave, and then that wouldn't be happening.
Yeah. Or they're writing it from their cell phone that they're going with, right? Like, what's the difference? It's just, it's nonsensical. And it's odd. It's really odd, but that's the internet for you, right? It can be unfortunate, because we then other people see that, and then other people get scared of microwaves, and then this accessible way of heating up your food becomes demonized, which is super, super unfortunate.
Yeah. So combating all that and helping someone to start to build this as a lifestyle, what are things that you wish people knew? If you could rant about anything, what is it?
I think there's a huge misconception that going plant-based is expensive and difficult. And this is kind of opposite to the conversation almost that we were just having. But the biggest mistake I probably see people make when they go plant-based is they are making one-to-one replacements for their animal products. So an example of this is they'll go to the grocery store and be like, okay, I'm not getting beef, so I'm going to get Beyond Meat. I'm not getting eggs, so I'm going to get just egg. And there, again, nothing wrong with these products. I think they're great for a treat, but they would far more benefit from a financial perspective and a health perspective eating whole foods. And it's really kind of back to the basics, like lentils, beans, rice, whole grains. These are all the things that you want to integrate more into your diet, as opposed to switching to another highly processed food just because it's vegan. Because just because it's vegan doesn't necessarily mean it's that much healthier if it's ultra processed. So that's something I could go on about. And I think that it's a mistake I often see people make. So it's kind of to my earlier point, I would rather see people work at one meal a time, one a week, and build up from there, where they're actually integrating whole plant-based foods, as opposed to just swapping things out for more processed food.
like what we tend to see is that people are very intimidated to cook in a way that they're just not used to. And
Yes.
it was mind-blowing for me to realize that I have such a bias that people know how to cook. And then a couple of years ago, having more conversations with people who grew up in North America, realizing, hey, like things like Taco Bell and processed mac and cheese, which we don't have to the same extent, that's how people my age grew up. And I remember having a conversation with a girl who said, my dad only eats Pop-Tarts and peanut butter toast. And she tried to get him to try a strawberry one time. And she bribed him with a $20 note and he wouldn't try a strawberry.
Yeah, it's we come from a place, of an extreme privilege
It
that we
is.
were raised the way that we learned to cook and were eating at least some semblance of whole foods. I mean, mine was certainly a standard American diet, but my parents were cooking. But yes, you do learn that a lot of people didn't gain those skills. And what I would say to somebody who's in that spot is that, again, cooking can be so much fun. You can start one meal at a time, one recipe at a time, and I almost guarantee that you're going to love it. And it doesn't have to, the stakes are so low. The stakes are so low, especially when you're not cooking with meat. The worst case scenario is that you make something that is so wretched, you have to throw it away. I mean, as a scrappy chef, I hope that doesn't happen, but it's supposed to be fun and you can benefit so much from it. Like a life skill in terms of cooking, I would say is right up there. It's like with reading. I don't know why it's not taught in school, right? To cook and feed your family and sustenance is just so important.
What kind of recipes would you say are good starting points, base recipes that you would say, hey, like this is pop your cherry on this?
Yeah, I think that stir fries are really awesome and really easy. So cooking a pot of rice, if you don't know how to cook a pot of rice, I promise, I tell my husband every time he needs to put on rice, I say, look at the back of the package, look at the back. It's on there. It's usually like some sort of water to rice ratio, depending on the rice you're making. And it's quite simple. So make a rice, or you can even make rice noodles, which are also really easy to make. Usually you just have to add boiling water to them. And then I love to make like a really simple stir fry sauce. So some soy sauce, rice vinegar, ginger, garlic, really delicious. Maybe a tinge of maple syrup if you want some sweetness, and then chop up your favorite vegetables. If you don't know where to start, I love bell peppers, broccoli, onion, peas, and I love tofu. So I will chop up a block of tofu, pop it in the air fryer with a little spray oil, salt and pepper, and then you add your tofu. You add, after you've sauteed your veggies, add your tofu and that sauce. Serve it over your rice, and you've got an amazing, really healthy meal that can be changed in a million ways. Like add whatever veggies you want, add a different bean, add tempeh, a different protein. If you're somebody who eats meat, you could do it there. And I think that's a great place to start, because a lot of people love like takeout Chinese food and stuff like that. And that's really kind of a play at that at home. So that's where my mind immediately goes. I think a stir fry would be a fabulous place to start.
Yeah, who doesn't love a good stir fry? It's so versatile.
Yeah, and you can do it from a sheet pan too. Like we often will just add a whole bunch of veggies to a sheet pan, like your broccoli, often do sweet potato, lots of ways to mix this up. So just this week we added tofu, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, and sweet potato to a sheet pan, a little bit of olive oil, a little bit of salt and pepper, popped it in the oven for about 40 minutes, took it out and served it over rice with a tahini dressing. I'm Oof. Such a fan of tahini dressing, but I think that tahini is one of those things that you need to kind of ease into because some people don't like it. And it was delicious. It's like a harvest bowl. So there's a million different ways that you can make a stir fry happen.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about what kind of staples you'd have in your fridge or your pantry that you think everyone needs to have in order to be an amazing, scrappy, plant-based cook.
So things I always have in my pantry, usually rice, some sort of whole grain pasta. I love big pasta fan. My favorite's penne. I also like a roti noodle. We always have cans of beans. So Big fan
you
of
use
black
cans? You don't cook all your beans from scratch.
No. I am all about convenience in my life. So usually chickpeas, black beans, kidney beans. I'll often make chilies and stuff like that. And then in terms of my fridge, stuff I always have on hand. So I'll look at what vegetables are often on sale, or I will, it will depend on what I'm creating from a recipe perspective, or I will look at what's in season. So we typically always have like bell peppers, broccoli, spinach, kale, and onions. So, and then for sauces, I always have soy sauce, always have apple cider vinegar on hand, some sort of tomato paste, pasta sauce, crushed tomatoes. And those are like kind of where you can build meals from. And then our protein sources, typically tempeh or tofu.
Okay. And in terms of making this, taking it from just regular plant-based cooking, whole foods recipes, how do you add that scrappiness into the day-to-day cooking process?
Yeah, so it's typically building off of like the things that I just talked about, and it's utilizing them in a scrappy way. So when we talk about even I'll buy radishes and I'll have the radish tops. So I'll add the radish tops into a pesto and use that for my pasta that week, and then use the radishes for a salad. Great examples, broccoli stems. I'll cut this, peel, and then cut them into match sticks and roll them into summer rolls. I love summer rolls. I have a recipe for that in my book there. And then another one I comes to mind, like pickle juice. You'll have like pickles and you'll be using eating pickles on their own or adding them to salads or whichever else. And using the pickle juice, I'll add some to soup for like a deeper umami flavor. We talked a little bit about canned beans and chickpeas. I always call the liquid in a can of chickpeas liquid gold, because I'll save that and it can be used in a million different ways. The immediate one that we make often is chickpea water mousse, which I'll just say aquafaba mousse. It's like a, it will, when you whip it up, it will make a meringue. So then you can add cocoa powder and maple syrup to it and makes an absolutely amazing chocolate mousse. And then another thing I love to do with chickpea water is use it to bread tofu. So oftentimes I'll just dip your tofu in the chickpea water and then breadcrumbs or whatever you want to bread, even just sometimes nutritional yeast, and then pop it in the air fryer. It's almost like an egg white substitute.
That's so fascinating. I've never
Yeah,
heard
yeah.
anyone do that. That's crazy.
Really? Oh yeah, I
Yeah.
do it all the time.
Okay.
And then from a scrappy, like basic element, oftentimes we'll just look at what's in the fridge and then use those base recipes, like I said, at the end of the week, and literally make like a big soup or a big curry or a big stir fry using up the rest of the vegetables that are left over. When in doubt, I'm a huge proponent of the freezer. So I will freeze things if they're ever going off. Spinach is a big one that can be frozen and then used for smoothies. And really, freezers are just so frozen food is so wonderful, because a lot of people, there's this misconception that frozen food is not as healthy. But when you look at berries, for example, in Canada, most of our berries are shipped in from Mexico. So it takes many days for that, those berries to get on our grocery store shelves. Whereas the frozen berries are harvested and then frozen almost immediately. So they often contain more of the nutrients than the food sitting on the grocery store shelves. So I'm a big proponent of buying frozen if you're a single person who's not necessarily going to use all of like your vegetables or your frozen berries up very quickly. And then finally, my mind goes to whenever I'm prepping food, I will take whatever scraps I have. So say your onion peels, your garlic peels, whichever. I'll always have a scrap bowl next to me when I'm prepping my food, and I'll put it in there, and then that will get transferred to a reusable freezer bag. And once that's full, I make a scrappy broth. So I'll add all of the scraps to a huge pot, and then add water over top, a little bit of turmeric, black pepper. And I'll let that cook for a few hours, and you've got a beautiful broth that I like to say is almost like a vegan bone broth, because it's contains some minerals from all of those vegetables in there.
I love that. I love the idea of just as you're cooking, looking and see, hey, if this is something that I would typically throw out, is there some way that I could use that? Is there something that I could save for it.
Exactly.
Save it for, yeah.
Potato peels are a great example. Everybody who's listening who usually throws out their potato peels, you can give them a scrub. If you're someone who peels your potatoes, peel them off, throw those with a little bit of salt, pepper, maybe a little bit of oil in the air fryer, and you've got like crispy, or your oven, and you've got crispy, like beautiful potato peel chips. And they're loaded with fiber.
How much has the air fryer changed your life?
It's a lot. We have this like air fryer oven thing. It's like a ninja, and it folds down from the wall, and it's really big. And I just find it cooks tofu so much faster. It'll like char broccoli or Brussels sprouts 10 times faster than my oven. I might need a new oven, but changed my life in a big way. I feel like that is like my number one. And if you can get a stainless steel one that is like has a lot of surface area, I think that's the best thing you can do. And yeah, it almost replaces my oven, other than like baking. Baking is not my strong suit though.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I'm not a baker. I use my air fryer at least twice a day. I want to know though, are you team clean after every use, or is your air fryer filthy right now?
Oh my goodness, my air fryer. I would be so embarrassed to show anybody. It's not good. No, it gets used so much that it's, but again, it's almost like an oven. I'll have to show you a picture after. Yeah, it's not like typical air fryer where it's like one of the black ones. Is that the kind you have?
Yeah,
where
it like pulls out
in and out. Yeah. I think those crisp even more than mine, but I need the surface area because I'm cooking so much food all at once. But yeah, it gets used a lot.
I guess you just clean it before you create content, and it's like, yay, look at my sparkling air fryer that no one does.
I usually don't even show food going into my oven or my air fryer. And I actually don't film in my kitchen. I have a little external island. My kitchen's really outdated. So I'll just show myself like taking the food away and bringing it back. And it's magically cooked because nobody needs to see it in my kitchen.
Is it like chaos as you're filming? Is there chaos all around?
Absolute. People would be shocked. Everybody says this thing to me. They're like, you're so organized. I'm like, if only you knew what is going on behind, under the hood of this business and my life, because I am not an organized person. Very creative. Like my mind will be going everywhere, but it's like my sister helps me out. So I hired her full time about a year and a half ago to work with me. And she says it's like Tornado Carly, because I'm leaving things everywhere I go, but I try my best.
I'm almost getting emotional just even hearing you say that, because I just think it's so awesome that you're able to talk about the fact that it's not all perfect, and there's this such disconnect between like with the fact that we need to make content that resonates with people, and you have to create something that makes it feel appealing, makes it feel doable. No one wants to look at a recipe that looks ugly and gross and disgusting because you put too much soy sauce in and all the veggies are now brown and you forgot about it because you had to run and do something and everything's overcooked. But that's real life.
It is real life. It's so real life. And I mean, I wish I was the type of human being who cleaned up meticulously as I went, but that's just not who I am. Maybe I can become it one day, but it's not real life, right? It's real life is messy, chaotic, and at some points beautiful. Yeah. So and you do the best.
Yeah. And you can still be successful. You can still make this 100%. Work. Yeah.
And I often tell people is they think I'm like a monolith for food waste. And I'm like, I still have food waste. Yeah. I am not perfect. Like I cook for a living. I certainly create waste in some capacity, but I do my best. And I mean, that's all I'm hoping for other people too. And I take that into every aspect of my life. Like I do the best with healthy eating. I do the best I can to make it to the gym. I do the best I can with my business. I do the best I can in every aspect of my life. And that sometimes trying is way better than trying to be perfect, right? Yeah. Because being perfect is near impossible.
I love that. Yeah. And it's like your starting point is going to be different to everyone else's. And like you said, for some people and for a lot of us, like that might be getting some Kraft mac and cheese, adding the tofu to add a bit more protein, adding some broccoli in there to just make it a bit more nutritious and bulk it out, add more fiber. It doesn't have to be using every single piece of it, even with the aquafaba.
Exactly.
If you're going to use chickpeas, but you're not going to use the aquafaba because you can't, just use the chickpeas
it's
anyway.
okay. It's okay. Exactly. And that's why I kind of like to start this when we started this podcast, I talked about that low hanging fruit in terms of meal planning. You don't have to. And even the recipes in my book, they're very much meals designed to help you reduce waste, not necessarily in a scrappy literal way. Of course, we have things like banana peel bacon that are kind of out there. But really, my wish is that people are just more intentional about the food that they buy, because that's the low hanging fruit. You don't have to go full scrappy. I think it's fun. I think it's great to think about food, and if you're buying it anyways, to use it. But if you can't, it's no big deal. It's more being more intentional with the ingredients that you buy.
I love that. What are you most excited about in this upcoming scrappy book?
I just think that it's really the best recipes and work that we, as in Play It You and myself, have ever created. And I'm just so excited for people to enjoy them and to cook them and to see them doing that. Like, that, it was the coolest part about my first cookbook. I had never seen so many people make my recipes, and like, people messaging me just saying how much it had impacted their life. So I'm excited to see that the impact that this book has. It just means the world to me when people share the recipes and get the book tattered and whichever else.
Yeah, and I'll put all of your social media and your website in the description as well. So please, everyone listening, go and get the book. It's coming out April, right? Beginning of April?
April 2nd.
April 2nd. Okay, cool. And then finally for you, Carly, if you had an ability where out of every single finger on one of your hands, you could pour a recipe, what would you have in each finger?
So lemon peel pesto, Sunday sauce, which is like a vegan bolognese, coffee ground granola. Ooh, this is hard. peanut butter curry. summer rolls. I have this amazing kale sun-dried tomato tahini salad in my book, and the name is escaping me, but I want it right now.
me too.
My husband's cooking dinner and I don't know what it is. I think it's like a pesto pasta. So that will be one.
I think you're at your five. It's just one hand. The other hand
I'm
is
good?
Just, yeah,
oh, it's
you're
just
good.
One hand. I thought I love that. That's a funny question.
Carly, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. It's been absolutely a pleasure talking to you. I'm now extremely excited for this book, even more than I was before. And it's been extremely refreshing and encouraging just to hear how simple and easy this can be. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me on. Have a wonderful day. And you're just so lovely. And I hope your audience enjoys learning a little bit about scraps.